Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
All right, let's dive into Medicare for All for just a moment, because I've got lots of questions about that.
I knew this wasn't going to be a softball interview.
as do many people. Yeah. Because all across the United States, we are being told by individuals who are against any kind of change in the current insurance system that we have in this country that Medicare for All is going to be wiping out. The president was just in Florida yesterday.
Right.
Talking about, I'm going to keep their hands off of your Medicare because they want to give it to illegal aliens. So the country is inundated with fear that Medicare for All is going to be something of a Frankenstein monster that's going to remove options for the American people.
It's going to do the exact opposite. And let me explain it as simply as I can. Medicare for All was a program in 1965 that Lyndon Johnson started. And you know, back then, if you talk to folks who remember it, they'll tell you that people thought that a year or two later, it was going to be extended eventually to everyone. It started at 65, and that was the plan. In fact, when Richard Nixon said, oh, we want to have someone buy into Medicare, the Democrats rejected the deal because the Democrats were so confident that eventually Medicare for All would be extended to everyone. And so this is important to understand. If you're over 65, you're automatically enrolled into Medicare. You don't have a choice. You're enrolled. And all we're saying is, let's give everyone that possibility. The second thing to understand, Medicare for All, as Bernie Sanders wants it, and as is the House Democratic bill, would expand benefits for current Medicare beneficiaries. You would get dental, you would get vision, and you get long-term care. Now, you talk to seniors who are going bankrupt because of health care costs, and often what happens is one of their spouses or them, they have to be in the hospital long-term, or they need long-term care. Their Medicare doesn't cover it. Their insurance runs out, supplemental insurance runs out, their savings run out, and then they end up going on Medicaid. And you have this happening over and over again, or in catastrophic conditions. Under Medicare for All, that won't happen. The third point, Medicare for All does not ban private insurance. Let me say this one more time. It does not ban private insurance. Under current Medicare, you can't get duplicative insurance, but you can get supplemental insurance.
Correct.
And the bill, as Bernie Sanders' bill is written, and as the House bill is written, you still would be able to get supplemental insurance. So we're going to give you great Medicare coverage. If you don't love it, you can go out and get supplemental insurance. Fourth point, this is going to be great for rural communities, because in the House bill, in Bernie Sanders' bill, are specific grants for rural hospitals, for rural communities, to make sure that they can deal with the increased amount of people who are now going to have health care. And they're going to have a lot more revenue because they're going to have a lot more people who have health care insurance. So that's going to be coming into the rural hospitals. Plus, they're going to be getting grants. So this is going to strengthen health care in rural hospitals. That means you don't have to go travel an hour and a half to get treatment. And you're going to be able to get that treatment in rural communities. Fifth point, this is going to mean lower cost. Why? Because we're going to take out the excessive insurance profits, the pharmaceutical profits, the profits that hospital facility fees are charging, and you're going to have not these extraordinary premiums that you currently have. Your premiums are going to be either nothing or negligible, what people currently pay on Medicare, $135 a month, not this $25,000 a month. And taxes are not going to go up for the middle class. So who's going to pay for it? Well, who's going to pay for it are either the employers who are going to have to pay a certain amount for Medicare through the payroll tax, or people who are making over $500,000 in a progressive taxation. That is the entire plan. So if you're a pharmaceutical company, I get why you don't like it. If you're an insurance company, I get why you don't like it. If you're a hospital, I get why you don't like it. And I get why you want to spend ads, millions of dollars, going after Medicare for All in this state. But ordinary Americans, your life is going to be better.
Let's talk about the hospitals for just a moment, because one of the concerns I know that the Iowa Hospital Association has talked about is that current system, for example, and I'm just going to pick some numbers out of the air. You go to a hospital somewhere, and their cost for a procedure is $1,000.
Right.
Well, it's $1,000, they tell me, because they know if they have a Medicaid or Medicare patient, they can't charge $1,000, that they'll settle for significantly lower than that.
Right.
So maybe they'll settle for $500, half of what the original bill is. So it's pegged at $1,000 for people that have insurance.
Right.
But it's pegged, they'll get paid $500 if you're on Medicare or Medicaid. So their concern is that they'll lose that, well, that revenue base, that $500 on that on that procedure.
Well, there are two things I'd say. First of all, these hospitals are still trying to expand the amount of people they get on Medicare. So it's not like they're losing that much money. If they were, then why are they trying to get more Medicare patients? Yes, they're making more on private insurance, but we also have in certain places hospital CEOs making extraordinary amount of profits and facilities fees that are excessive. And I think that and insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies that are making way too much money out of the whole system. So if you had Medicare negotiating and really putting pressure on the pharmaceutical companies, on hospitals, and you didn't have the pressure of insurance profits, I think it would drive all of the costs down. Now, if we found out that that was not sufficient to make a reasonable profit, then you can always talk about increasing Medicare's reimbursement rates, and that is on the table. No one is saying that if hospitals aren't going to be able to make it, that we won't increase the reimbursement rates or providing grants, particularly to rural hospitals. So this is a red herring that people are putting out there who want to preserve Aetna making $59 million, Aetna CEO. Or certain hospitals, I don't know in Iowa, but in certain hospitals, CEOs are making $6, $7 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to be the world. No one's going to be making that kind of money.
Ro Khanna, ladies and gentlemen, congressman from the 17th District of California in Silicon Valley, talking with us about Medicare for All. One of the other things that we hear about Medicare for All, congressman, is that taxes are going to go up significantly, even for the middle class. I mean, we see the headlines, we see the news, we see the commercials that Medicare for All is going to drive taxes up and benefits down. You're
not
indicating
true.
That's
not true. Benefits are certainly going to go up. You're going to get dental, you're going to get vision, you're going to get long-term care, you're going to have more choice in your doctors. I mean, right now, if you're in private insurance, you probably are in a certain network. You can't go to any doctor. Under Medicare, you're going to get to go to the doctor that you want to go to. So your benefits are going to improve. The cost is going to come down. First of all, most people who are not on Medicare, they're spending almost $10,000, $12,000 on premiums. Now you're not going to have to pay that. So your cost as a family, you're going to save a lot of money. That's a forced tax that you're basically paying to the private insurance companies. Second, anyone making under $100,000 is not going to have some tax increase. That it's just not going to happen. Who's going to pay for it then? People will keep asking, who's going to pay for it? Employers are going to pay for it because you're going to still, if you're an employer, have to pay a payroll tax for your employees to cover Medicare. And you're going to have, if you're making over $250,000 or over $500,000, then you're going to have progressive taxation to pay for Medicare. So, yes, the wealthy, they're going to see a slight tax increase. And if you're making over $500,000, you're going to see a tax increase. If you're making over $1 million, you're going to see a tax increase. But if you're making under $100,000, you're not going to see a dime increase in your taxes.
One of the things that we've noticed, and we reported on this a week or two ago, is the number of people who are dropping out of health care insurance altogether because they find that the premiums, the copays, and all of those things are getting to be too much.
Right.
Businesses, on the other hand, are also taking a look at this and saying it's unsustainable because they're getting increases 15%, 17%, 22% a year.
Right.
And they've got one of two options. They can either reduce their payments and put that over onto the employee.
Right.
Or get a lesser plan type coverage that won't cover the issues that their employees might need. And even here in Iowa, there's now a system out there that the Farm Bureau put together that says, well, this isn't really health care coverage. They can't call it that because it's not insurance, but it's sort of kind of like it. But it's not.
Right.
So wouldn't Medicare for All take that away from the equation, A? B, because more people are involved in this, wouldn't that in itself start to drive costs down?
You're absolutely right, Michael. In fact, one of the biggest advocacy groups for Medicare for All are manufacturers and businesses. Right now, they are stuck with the cost of each employee, and these premiums keep going up 20% a year. In fact, one of the reasons we've had wage stagnation since 1970 on is because of the increase in healthcare premium costs. If you didn't have healthcare premium costs going up, and if businesses were allowed to put that money instead of giving healthcare to their employees into wage increases, wages would have kept up with productivity. The reason wages have stagnated is all of that money has been taken from the workers and given to the CEOs, executives of pharmaceutical companies, hospitals, and insurance executives. So businesses also are going offshore, not because of labor costs, often because of healthcare costs. In Silicon Valley, the reason a lot of startups die in the Valley of Death is because of the healthcare costs. That's what the executives fear most. So you're absolutely right that what this would do is give Medicare extraordinary bargaining leverage with hospitals, with pharmaceuticals, with doctors to lower the cost. Businesses still are going to have to pay a premium. I mean, it's not going to be free. Nothing is free in this world. But that premium is going to be, that tax that they're going to be paying for Medicare is going to be far lower than the premium hikes that they've been having to pay for private insurance. And it's only common sense. If you take the Aetna CEO's $56 million out of the equation, if you take the pharmaceutical company's millions of dollars of profits out of the equation, if you take the hospital CEO's millions of dollars of profits out of the equation, you're going to save money.
Ro Khanna, ladies and gentlemen, congressman from the 17th District of California. You would know that as Silicon Valley. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Senator Sanders.
Yes.
You know, he just recently had a procedure where a couple of stents were placed in some arteries. That then caused people to speculate whether or not he was in the race or out of the race, if it would damage his electability. The other thing, and coincidentally at the same time, it was rumored that they were cutting out the television ad buy here in Iowa, which, by the way, came back today.
Right.
So there goes that conspiracy theory. So have you talked to the senator?
I spoke to him this morning. He's in great spirits. He was joking around. I got on the phone with him. I said, how are you doing, Senator Sanders? He says, well, I don't recommend heart trouble for anybody, you know, and he starts laughing in his own way. But he's recovering really well. It's a common procedure. People get this in their 40s, their 50s. It's not something that is very unusual. He's going to be in the debates in October. And you know what I think this is going to give him an opportunity to do? It's going to allow people to see the human side of Senator Sanders. We're all vulnerable. We're all possibly subject to a medical emergency. And people are going to see that he's human, that he's resilient, that he's still going to be out there. People in Iowa are going to get to meet him. He's going to speak about the privilege he's had, that he got such great medical care, the best medical care probably our country has, and how he wants that for everyone.
And it's government paid.
And it's government paid.
Yeah.
It's government paid.
So I was just going to ask you that.
Yes.
He's going to be able to say, okay, here are my bills. Here
yes.
is what we ended up paying through my government insurance. Don't you think that that ought to be for everybody?
Exactly. Shouldn't every American get the health care that I have? Shouldn't that be available for people in rural communities? Shouldn't that be available for folks who aren't making the salary of a United States senator? And he's going to say, you know, I had doctors recognize right away that I had a blockage and they did the procedure. And maybe if they didn't do that, I could have had real issues down the line. I want to make sure everyone has that preventive opportunity. I think it's going to make his Medicare for All message more compelling because it's personal in a way that people can relate to. In terms of the ad buy, I mean, he was supposed to be out here with me campaigning this weekend, and Senator Sanders usually likes to coincide television ads with a personal appearance, and he doesn't believe just you don't meet people and you just go campaign on television. So the idea was to run the ads when he would be here. And that was the only reason that they were pulled. Then, you know, all these folks started chattering. So I think we thought, okay, let's put the ads back on. But he'll be out here. He'll be spending a lot of time out here. And I've only seen more affection, more enthusiasm for his campaign.
Ro Khanna has been our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about a wide range of things, everything from technology in rural Iowa to Medicare for All to Senator Bernie Sanders and his efforts. How's the family, by the way? I didn't ask you that, man.
Family's good. I've got an amazing wife.
Yeah, apparently. And you're out here.
And I'm very blessed to have two young kids. Yeah. And they're doing great. And I, you know, that's the one time when I'm with them that I tune everything out. I don't think about Donald Trump. I don't think about Congress. I don't think about Bernie Sanders. Nothing is more precious than family. How's your state Senate race coming?
You know, hey, you're asking. It's going well. Thank you.
We need people like you. Michael, one of the things I've always appreciated about you is I know you're progressive, but you also understand business. You understand economics, and the combination of that is so important in our nation at this point.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't agree more. Thank
Good.
You. All right. Congressman Ro Khanna, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest talking about a whole host of issues. He's going to be traveling throughout the state. We expect to see him several more times before we get into the Iowa caucus. And good luck to you, sir. And thanks again for spending time.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, that was Congressman Ro Khanna, who represents the 17th Congressional District. In California, you would know that area as Silicon Valley. We will have links to his website as well as the website for Senator Bernie Sanders up on our radio blog. All right, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Big day today with Congressman Khanna. We want to thank him again for his time. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Aaron Libby is sales and marketing. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for being with us. For those folks and for Congressman Khanna, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.